Okay, so picture this. You're getting ready for a rhinoplasty. Right. You're prepping for the big reveal, excited to finally breathe easy, literally.
It's a big deal. But you know, one thing that might catch you off guard is, like, on day three or four, your splint. That thing might actually come loose or even, like, fall off.
Whoa, are you serious? I thought they like glued that thing on there. Okay, you're
Okay.
jumping right into it with that one. But I gotta say, I kind of love it. So today, we're taking you through rhinoplasty recovery, all the ins and outs, and our roadmap for this deep dive. An aftercare guide from Berkeley Square Medical.
Think of it as a like a behind-the-scenes look at what to expect,
Yeah.
especially during those first 7 days, day by day.
Exactly. Your cheat sheet to understanding not just what happens, but the why. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some extra insights to, really give you the full picture.
We're going deeper than those like generic brochures, you know what I mean?
Way deeper. Now, full disclosure, this is just one guide we're looking at. Always, always talk to your surgeon about your specific recovery plan. This is like your insider's guide, not your medical gospel, right?
Precisely. So let's start at the very beginning, day one. You wake up from surgery, you're probably feeling a bit groggy, and here's the thing. There's a good chance you're going to feel nauseous.
Wait, really? I thought that only happened with certain types of anesthesia.
It's actually more common than you think,
No.
especially after rhinoplasty. The guide mentions it affects around 5% of patients, and it's mainly due to the anesthesia and pain medications.
So it's not like a sign that something's wrong, just your body processing the meds.
Exactly. It usually subsides within the first 24 hours. Now, while you're dealing with the nausea, you'll also notice the swelling starting to set in.
Yeah, that's a given, right? I mean, it's surgery.
For sure. But here's the interesting part. This swelling, it can actually extend beyond your nose and affect your jawline.
Your jawline. Okay, that seems intense. Why does that happen?
It all comes down to the interconnected network of tissues in your face. Think of it like a chain reaction. The trauma from surgery, it triggers an inflammatory response. And fluids, they accumulate in the surrounding tissues. Since the tissues in your face are so closely linked, the swelling, it can spread, reaches areas you might not expect, like your jawline.
Wow, that's wild. So even though you're focused on your nose, your body's basically like, hold on, this whole area needs some TLC.
Exactly. The guide mentions that about 20% of patients experience this jawline swelling. So it's a normal variation.
Okay, so not everyone will experience it, but definitely good to be aware of. So day one, you're dealing with nausea, the beginning of the swelling. What about day two? What other surprises does rhinoplasty recovery have in store for us then?
Yeah, so day two, this is usually when that initial shock kind of starts to wear off. You're like settling into this new reality of having a splint on your face, you
Oh
know?
yeah, super glamorous. But I imagine this is also when the swelling really kicks in, right?
You got it. Day three is often like peak swelling time, and this is where things can get interesting.
Interesting how the guide mentioned something about eyelids, didn't it?
Yeah. So get this, the swelling around your nose can actually get so bad that it like messes with your eyelids.
Yeah.
You might even have trouble opening your eyes all the way.
No way, seriously. Okay, they definitely don't show you that in the after photos. So what's going on there? Why the sudden eye involvement?
It's those interconnected tissues again. Remember how we talked about that? Swelling's at its peak, and the area around your eyes, it's so delicate, so close to your nose. It's really common for fluid to build up there too.
So it's like your body saying, hey, I'm working on it. Give me a few days and those peepers will be back to normal.
Exactly. And while we're on the subject of those first few days, you've also got to be super careful about hygiene, especially cleaning the inside of your nose.
Right. This isn't your average, like, post-nasal drip situation, is it? The guide had some pretty specific instructions on that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, it's way more delicate than you'd think. They actually recommend, like, using cotton buds dipped in warm water to, you know, gently loosen any dried blood or mucus.
Gentle being the key word here.
Absolutely. And once you've cleaned the area, applying a bit of Vaseline can, like, soothe the skin and prevent more irritation.
Interesting. It's wild how these little details can make such a big difference in how you heal.
It really is. Now, speaking of things that need a gentle touch, let's talk about the splint.
Ah, yes, the ever so stylish face accessory. I imagine by day three, people are ready to rip that thing off.
Oh, I bet. Totally understandable. But remember, the splint is there for a reason. Right. It's protecting your nose,
yeah.
helping it keep its new shape while it heals.
Right. So even if it feels kind of weird, it's doing important work behind the scenes.
Exactly. And this is where that whole thing about the splint coming loose or even falling off, you know, it's important to remember.
Okay. So let's say your splint does come loose or, I don't know, decides to take an early vacation. What do? Panic. Call the surgeon in the middle of the night.
No. No, don't panic. It's always best to, like, err on the side of caution and call your surgeon if you're worried, obviously. But a little looseness, or even if it comes off completely, it's not always a 5-alarm fire, especially in those first few days. The key here is to really listen to your body, you know?
So if there's no crazy pain, no weird discomfort beyond the normal post-op stuff, and the splint being, you know, MIA isn't causing any problems, it's probably okay to just wait and contact your surgeon during office hours.
Exactly. They can take a look,
yeah.
Tell you what's up. Now, another thing people freak out about at this stage is breathing, or, well, not breathing, like through your nose.
Yeah, that makes sense. With all that swelling, I imagine it's got to be like trying to breathe through a straw.
Yeah, it's super common, and the guide actually talks about it pretty openly. You might find yourself, like, just resorting to mouth breathing, especially at night.
Not exactly the sexiest sleep aid, but hey, you got to do it. You got to do those first few nights, right?
Right. The important thing is it's temporary. As the swelling goes down, your breathing will get back to normal. I promise.
That is good to know. So we've got the swelling, the hygiene, anxieties about the splint, breathing issues. Sounds like days 2 and 3 are a crash course in patients.
No kidding. They'll definitely test you, but they're such a vital part of the healing process. By day 4, though, you're past that peak swelling and things start to feel a bit more, you know, manageable.
A glimmer of hope at the end of the nose splint tunnel. So what's next? What happens in the latter half of this first week of recovery? So we're over that hump of peak swelling, breathing's getting a little easier, and maybe, just maybe, we're starting to feel a little more human again. What's next? What's happening in this last half of week 1?
Yeah, so around day 7, that's usually when the splint comes off. Big day.
The big reveal. I bet that feels amazing, both physically and mentally. But, you know, the guide mentioned something kind of interesting, that even after the splint's off, your nose won't actually be its final self yet.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Day 7 is a milestone for sure, but it's not the finish line.
So what should people be focusing on at this point, if not the final result?
I think it's really about, like, shifting your mindset, you know, from end result to ongoing process. Are you doing all the aftercare stuff, managing any discomfort? And probably most importantly, are you being patient with your body and how it heals?
It's like you said, you've graduated splint school, but now you're on to the bigger, longer term project of really healing and, I guess, adjusting to your new look.
100%. And speaking of adjusting, the guide also gets into some other recovery stuff that we haven't even touched on yet, like sleeping positions. It's not just about being comfy, is it?
No, not at all. I was surprised how specific the guide got about it, actually. So tell me, why is it so important to be propped up like a royal on all those pillows after rhinoplasty?
Gravity. It all comes back to gravity and how it affects the swelling. Yeah. When you sleep with your head up, it helps drain fluid away from, like, the surgical site. That can really cut down on swelling and bruising.
So basically, 2 pillows minimum, no face planting on the mattress. Got it. What about other surprising do's and don'ts? Anything else in the guide that stands out?
Oh, yeah. They are very clear about not blowing your nose, especially in those first 2 weeks.
Really? But what if your nose is super stuffy? It seems kind of counterintuitive to not, you know, clear those nasal passages out.
I know, right? It feels weird. But when you blow your nose, it creates all this pressure. And that can mess with the healing tissues and incisions. That can lead to bleeding, more swelling. It can even change the final result.
Okay, so as tempting as it is to just let it rip, gentle saline rinses are the way to go if you're feeling congested. So even with all these precautions, I'm sure people still get anxious. What were some of the common concerns in the guide that you thought were worth highlighting?
I mean, infection is a big one, obviously.
Yeah.
It's normal to be, like, hyper aware of every little change in your nose, especially with so much healing happening on the inside.
Absolutely. How can you tell if it's, you know, normal post-op stuff or something more serious?
The guide says to watch out for a couple of things. So, like, if the bleeding suddenly gets a lot worse after it had already calmed down, or if you see a ton of swelling between your eyes and it's really red, those are signs to call your surgeon ASAP. That can be a bacterial infection, and even though it's not super common, you need to catch it early.
Trust your gut. If something feels wrong, definitely check with your doctor. This whole deep dive has been so interesting. I feel like we've really gone beyond the surface level and seen all the like nuanced, sometimes unexpected things about rhinoplasty recovery.
That's the goal. We want to give you the knowledge so you can feel prepped and ready for anything.
Exactly. And you know, it makes you think, going back to what you said earlier about day 7 and the splint coming off being a milestone but not the finish line, how do people handle those mental and emotional adjustments that come with a whole new look? That's something to think about as you're starting this journey.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's so different for everyone. Just remember, rhinoplasty recovery is a journey, not a sprint. Be patient with yourself, be kind to yourself, and don't be afraid to lean on your people, you know, friends, family, your medical team, whoever you need.
So well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the fascinating world of rhinoplasty recovery. Until next time, happy healing, everyone.